Morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 37 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Today is Monday, March 24th, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. March 27th marks the 50th anniversary of Alaska's Good Friday earthquake, the largest recorded in North America. Many Sitkins have stories from the epicenter. Over the next 4 days, we'll share four of them. Bob Allen is known around Southeast now for his family's shipbuilding and cruise business, Allen Marine. But 5 decades ago, he was fishing south of Kodiak Island, far from his family, when disaster struck. Allen says when you can't take care of your own, you take care of what you can. KCAW's Emily Foreman has the story.
Bob Allen was over 100 miles from home when a magnitude 9.2 earthquake rocked his boat. Of all days, this would be a tough one to be separated from his wife and kids.
Betty and the kids were in Kodiak, and I was on a 104-foot fishing boat. It was about 5 o'clock. Beautiful day, flat calm, absolutely mere calm. And the boat started just vibrating. It was just like a giant had a hold of that boat, and it was just shaking it. Just rattle, rattle, shake, shake, shake. Terrible vibration.
The violent jostling had damaged the radio. All they could do was listen.
We could hear what was happening in Kodiak.
And the report wasn't good.
He says, "How are you doing?" And he says, "Oh, I'm doing okay." He says, "Well, where are you at?" And he says, "I'm sitting in the schoolyard."
That is floating over the schoolyard in an 80-foot barge. Just as devastating, but even more deadly than the earthquake itself, was the tsunami that followed.
The schoolyard in Kodiak was pretty far up above the waterline. You knew that that town had been underwater by 10 or 15, 20 feet by then.
Bob knew his home wasn't flooded because it was on a hill above the schoolyard, but he couldn't be sure that his house hadn't collapsed on his family. And the tsunami waves made it too risky to go home.
We were kind of pinned. We couldn't do anything. When you reach a point where there's nothing that you can do to take care of your own family, you just say, okay, I'll take care of what I can, somebody else's family, and somebody else is going to look after mine, I hope.
That night over the radio, Allen's crew learned that the village of Kuguyak had been wiped out. It was only 8 miles away. Come morning, they set out to help.
They were all on the beach. They were right at the head of the bay, right where the old village had been. They had no food. They had no blankets. All they had was that one little radio. And we brought out 46 adults and probably 15 children and one body. They were in shock. Couldn't think for themselves. You'd take them over to the table and you'd set them down with a plate in front of them and a hot cake. And we'd made that sugar syrup. We had a big can of sugar syrup going all the time. We left there and we headed for Old Harbor because they were wiped out too. And we're going through hundreds of empty oil barrels, overturned boats, broke up houses, deep freezers, refrigerators, anything that could float.
By the time that they left Old Harbor, they had 96 adults and 35 kids on board. The plan was to transport the survivors to the Kodiak Naval Base. Many had taken a few valued possessions along with them. And when they pulled into shore...
It was just like tying up in a river. The tide is still, every 25, 30 minutes, is going from full high to full low.
They were asked to leave these items on the dock while they boarded the buses. When the buses pulled away, the water seeped through the dock and...
Everything they had saved floated away. I get home. By then, it's about 2:30 in the morning.
On Sunday... 33 hours since the start of the quake.
They were not allowing anybody into the middle of the town without a guard.
For fear of looting, an armed guard escorted Bob home.
That was the worst part of the whole thing for me, was coming home and finding my family gone. All there is a note on the table from Betty saying that they went to Chiniac. 12 people had drowned on those roads because they got caught in the head of the bays, and that's
12 frantic hours later.
I'm panic stricken.
Bob finally got a call that his wife and kids had been evacuated to Chiniac by plane and were safe.
after that, I got off the boat. I quit fishing, went to work construction, and
Did you quit fishing because of this experience?
Well, there were no canneries left. There's no place left to sell a crab anyway. When you're growing up in Alaska, it's kind of like a walking disaster area anyway. Everything always gets rebuilt. That's not, you know, it's no problem. It always happens. I don't think you're standing up there waving a flag or anything. There ain't a lot of glory in this world.
In Sitka, I'm Emily Foreman.
This story is part one of a four-part series commemorating the 1964 Great Alaska Earthquake. We'll have a different story every day through the anniversary on March 27th. Well, the turnover in Southeast school superintendents continues. The State Department of Education announced on Friday that the commissioner has chosen a new superintendent for Mount Edgecombe, the state-run boarding school in Sitka. Troy J. Thane will take over the post on July 1st. Thane, who goes by Jay, lives in Blackfoot, Idaho. For the past 3 years, he's been working as a consultant for McGraw-Hill Publishing, doing specialized solutions for struggling schools. Prior to that, he was curriculum director for the Blackfoot School District. Mount Edgecombe will be his second superintendency. He says he has no agenda coming into the job. He wants to get to know the predominantly Alaska Native students better and get to know the school.
I grew up in Seattle, and so I love cultural diversity. And as I moved to Idaho, I've lived in different places where I haven't had that. That's one of the reasons why we relocated to Blackfoot, was to have some more diversity. I love the Native American culture. My great-grandmother grew up in the Grangeville area and was from a Native American background as well, Apache. And I have a love for that culture, even though I'm quite removed from it. And I'm anxious to have the opportunity to work with those students.
Thane holds a Bachelor of Science degree in elementary education from Lewis Clark State College in Idaho and a master's degree in educational administration from Idaho State. He is writing his dissertation for a Doctor of Education degree, also from Idaho State. Besides being a superintendent, Thane has worked as a teacher, principal, GED instructor, and high school principal. His wife, Rebecca, is a high school math teacher. They have 5 children, 1 in college, and 4 of school age, who will join him in Sitka. Thane succeeds Randy Hawk, who's held the top job at Mount Edgecombe for 4 years. Hawk has been in education for 34 years, in a total of 10 different teaching and administrative jobs. Mount Edgecombe is his last, though. He says he's retiring.
It's like with anything, when you think about doing the next thing, you look at the things that you kind of are dealing with, the changes and with new regulations and all that kind of stuff, and you think it's quite a headache. But I know once you get to the point of getting away from that, there's going to be a lot of things that I'll be missing in education, and especially here at Edgecombe.
Prior to his term at Mount Edgecombe, Hawk was assistant superintendent in Sitka, high school principal, assistant high school principal, middle school principal, and assistant middle school principal. He began his career as a shop teacher in Iowa in 1979, but found work in Angoon, Alaska, when the farm crisis of the 1980s forced the consolidation of many schools in the Midwest. Hawk says he plans to remain in Sitka for the time being. His wife, Catherine, is a reading specialist at Kikushihin Elementary School. Hawk is the 5th Southeast superintendent to leave his post this year. Others include superintendents in Wrangell, Petersburg, Juneau, and Sitka. And have you ever wanted to give some anonymous feedback about your representatives in the Alaska House and Senate? Do you even know who your representatives are in the legislature anymore? Either way, a doctoral student interning in the state capitol wants to hear from you. An online survey underway this session seeks to gauge legislative satisfaction levels for residents of Southeast. Joe Vicnicki reports.
Jessica McKay is a PhD student studying clinical community psychology at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. She says she got interested in that field of study when she worked at a community mental health center in Sitka. The survey is part of her coursework.
It's basically just some sort of project where we are working with an organization where we are looking at how do we make a difference in people's lives, how do we get some feedback on how this organization is working, and kind of possibly make some changes.
McKay is a 2002 graduate of Petersburg High School and is interning this session with Juneau Democratic Senator Dennis Egan. The online survey takes about 10 to 15 minutes to complete. It's meant for all Southeast residents of voting age. And McKay says it looks at satisfaction with legislative services.
We wanted to reach as many different types of people as possible who, you know, either know a lot about the legislative process or not so much at all. And so it's asking initially, you know, just how often do you vote? Do you vote at all? Do you think you can make a difference in government? You know, how do you think the legislators do? What kind of things do you think they should do?
The survey asks about whether people have contacted their legislators and how that experience went. She also wants to hear if people even know who represents them in Juneau.
As I said, we wanted to reach people who, you know a lot or don't know much at all. And I'm finding that some people don't know who their legislator is. And that's fine. That's all part of this process, right, is just kind of getting the education out there and seeing if people even know who their representation is. And I know that, you know, with redistricting that has happened over the last year, that things can be a little confusing, maybe particularly in Petersburg. So
legislative districts changed once in 2012 under an interim redistricting plan, and they'll be changing again this year. For Petersburg, that's meant 2 years of representation by Juneau legislators. The Juneau senator and representatives have been spreading the word about McKay's survey. So far, she's received about 450 responses, mainly from Juneau residents, but she's hoping for more participation from the rest of the region.
That's Joe Viknicki reporting in Petersburg. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka, 37 degrees in downtown Sitka under partly cloudy skies. It should be mostly cloudy throughout our listening region today, with Sitka, PA, and Goon and Cake maybe seeing some rain and snow. In Yakutat, it will be sunny. Temperatures in the region in the low 40s today. It's 8:01 KCAW.